to you. We know, Lord, that you have given us this dimension of time that we live in, and it's how we use it, Lord, how we are faithful stewards of the time you have given us. And we want to take specific time, Lord, where we pull ourselves away from all the other things in our life, from all the responsibilities, from all the activities, and so to speak, sit at the feet of Jesus to hear his word. We pray, Lord, that as we come to the scriptures, that we would be able to receive the truth, the revelation that brings increasing freedom in our life, that connects us more and more with what your will is and enables us, gives us the ability to live out your will in our lives. I pray, Father, specifically for the message this morning, that you would enable me to speak it with clarity. Father, for that anointing of the Holy Spirit that dwells in each one to bring that revelation, specific revelation, to each individual. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We are continuing in our adventure. We've been talking about living for adventures with the Spirit of God. And in this, we have been talking about how he leads and guides us, and how we, if we are being led by the Spirit of God, we are going to have adventures. And we've worked on this motto of another day, another adventure. And I don't know if you have grasped hold of that yet. And it's, it's not like I have automatically done this either, but getting up each day and saying, hey, it's another day, it's another adventure with the Holy Spirit. We can purpose that, and I believe that the more that we do that, the more we will actually experience that, because God has all kinds of adventures for us to walk in and living for him, doing ministry on his behalf, representing his kingdom. There is untold numbers of things that God will have us do if we'll just be willing to connect with him in that. So let us have him lead and guide us into these adventures. With the Spirit of God connected with us, he will reveal things that are to come. That's in the scripture, John, I believe it's chapter 16, verse 13, that says that the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us into truth and reveals those things that are to come. So we can have a clue. This is not talking about fortune telling or palm reading or anything like that. In fact, that's what the devil does. He takes the things of God and he perverts them and makes them something evil. But God is the one who can reveal the things that are to come, to give you forewarning or foreknowledge so that you can be ready and aware of the things that he has you to walk in. And we've also been talking about how when we are following after the Spirit of God, we will have unpredictable experiences, because the Spirit of God is like the wind. You can't see the wind, but you can see the results of the wind blowing. And we can't always predict what the Holy Spirit is going to do. But if we will follow him, we will see the experiences. We will see what takes place as we are working together with the Holy Spirit in those unpredictable experiences. Today, what I want to share with you is a message that I've entitled Adventures in Prayer, connecting with the Spirit of God in our prayer life, in the way that the Holy Spirit has enabled us or gives us the ability to connect with him in prayer. Now, first I want to just talk a little bit about the value of prayer. And really, our personal value is indicated by our involvement. Here's the big deal, people. This is it. Catch hold of this. Little prayer, little value. Much prayer, much value. That's not hard to figure out. Each one of us can now evaluate our own selves and say, how much value do I put in prayer? Or how much do I consider the value of prayer? If we're involved in prayer little, we give it little value. If we're involved in prayer much, we give it much value. And I'm not talking about the prayer closet kind of prayer, or the folded hands and closed eyes kind of prayer. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, pulling aside for those special times, but I'm talking about communicating with the Lord on a regular basis, as though he is present with you, no matter what you are doing, no matter where you are. That's what I believe. When the scriptures speak about pray without ceasing, you might say, well, that's absolutely impossible. I have to go to my job. I have to interact with my family. I can't pray without ceasing. No one can do that. But I think what that is talking about is acknowledging the Lord is always present with you. I remember a lady minister, when she would cough in the middle of her sermon, she would say, excuse me, Jesus. It's like she was continually in relationship with the Lord, acknowledging he's there, you know, and it's very, very interesting to watch. But you can see that kind of how that affects a person when they have that revelation of the Lord being with her and that continual interaction. That's what I believe what we need to be involved in, prayer, giving prayer its proper value in our life. But scripturally, I want to show you just briefly, you know, as I was preparing this message, and actually as I was, you know, going through it more after I had put it together, I sat there going, you know, it is impossible for me to preach a message without having several series within that one message. There is so much I could do with each one of these points of today's message, but I'm just going to brief on them. You know, it is impossible for me to preach the whole counsel of God in one message, and that's why you need to come back week after week, because there'll be more. But in James chapter 5, it very briefly gives the value of prayer. James 5, and I'm going to read verses 16 through 18. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Elijah was a human as we are, and yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then, when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain, and the earth began to yield its crops. Just a few things I'm going to give you here on this passage of Scripture. First of all, concerning prayer, what the Lord says about prayer is that it has great power and it produces wonderful results. Why would we neglect prayer? If we neglect prayer, obviously we don't believe this passage of Scripture. We don't believe it has much power. We don't believe it makes much difference if we're not praying people. Or we don't believe it produces wonderful results if we're not praying people. If we are not praying people, we are neglecting a tremendous power that God has entrusted to us. The power of prayer, effective prayer, great power, and produces wonderful results. The New American Standard says it accomplishes much. Okay, so let's grab hold of what the Scripture says is the value of prayer and let that make a difference in our lives, in our prayer lives, in our communication with the Lord. Also, it gives reference to Elijah. It says he was human as we are. Now, a lot of times, I believe the reason why it puts the Scripture in here is because a lot of times we elevate these men and women of God in the Scriptures. We know that Elijah was a prophet of God. He did, you know, tremendous things, power of God. But this Scripture says, you know, he's no different than we are. He is a man like we are. He is human like we are. But he prayed, and when he prayed, things happened. His prayers were effective. His prayers had great power, and they accomplished much. And it makes reference to the fact of praying that there was rain, praying that there was no rain. This is in 1 Kings chapter. Actually, the prayer of no rain is chapter 17, and the prayer for rain is chapter 18. And you can see what takes place during those years of famine between there. But what the Scripture gives in those references, we're not going to turn there, but what the Scripture gives in those references is hardly really even a prayer. It's not something where he says, the last part, there's reference made to prayer, but it's more so even just the declaration that he declares there's not going to be rain until I say there's going to be rain. You know, so obviously he was being directed by the Lord to give forth that prophecy or make that declaration, which as described in this passage of Scripture, is actually a prayer. It's a declaration that is made in accordance with the will of God. But in this chapter 18 specifically, is also a lesson in persistence in prayer. Because as Elijah begins to pray for rain, he sends out his servant to see if the rain's coming now. And the servant comes back and says, no, there's no change. You know, clouds are clear. The sky is clear. And he sends him back 7 times. So Elijah puts himself actually in a position of prayer, as described there, where his head is down between his knees. He's praying, and he is speaking or declaring the will of God. And he continues to do so until his servant comes back. He says, you know what? On the horizon, I see this little cloud. From here, it looks like the size of a man's hand. And he says, go tell the king, you better get out of here because it's going to rain. And Elijah takes off as well, and torrents of rain then come. But you can go and read this on your own. But the point of this is effective prayer or great effective prayer, God's people praying has great power and produces wonderful results or accomplishes much. So let's grab hold of the value of prayer first. You know, as we're talking about having adventures with the Spirit of God in prayer, let's know that prayer has value and it's going to change things. All right, so, but God doesn't just leave us to pray on our own. This is what is so cool about the Lord God is when he calls us to do something, he always gives us the equipment and the power and the ability to do it. And that happens as well in prayer. I would like you to turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, in my Bible, the very first title at the first of the chapter says Life in the Spirit. And I have made reference, this is probably one of my most favorite passages of Scripture in the Bible. I don't know if you can have that or should have that, a favorite passage. But this speaks of the difference between living by the Spirit versus living after the flesh. And what the difference is going to mean in our life, you know, depending on what we are living after. But let me share actually in verse 9. It says, you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. So here it's talking about, first of all, you being controlled by the Spirit. Controlled by the Spirit, and this we'll see also is involved in our prayer life, being controlled by the Spirit of God in our prayer life because the Spirit of God is living in us. Now, go to verse 26 and 27. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. Okay, so here's some things I want you to see in this. The Holy Spirit, it says, it helps us in our weakness. So wherever we would lack something, the Spirit of God has been given to us by God, empowering us and enabling us to do what God's called us to do, specifically in prayer. The Holy Spirit has given us to help us in our weakness in prayer because we don't know how to pray. It says we don't know what God wants us to pray for. And so it says that the Holy Spirit prays for us in harmony with God's will. Now this is something that, you know, when Jesus said to his disciples, he says, I'm leaving, but I'm not going to leave you helpless. I'm not going to abandon you. When I leave, the Holy Spirit will come. And he says, actually, it's to your advantage that I leave so that the Spirit of God can come. And so he says, he will be a helper to you. And this is something that happened then on the day of Pentecost. And we have had this experience of the Spirit of God coming to help us in our weakness for all believers since the day of Pentecost. I've shared some of those passages with you where Peter on the day of Pentecost said, this is to you, to your children, and to all who the Lord shall call. So we have the Holy Spirit. We have this promise of the Holy Spirit to help us in whatever area of life that we need, to help us in our weaknesses, and specifically now in prayer. I would like to show this passage to you. Actually, I believe it's in your notes from Romans chapter 8, 26 and 27 from the Amplified Translation of the Bible. It says, so too the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weakness. For we do not know what prayer to offer, nor how to offer it worthily as we ought. But the Spirit himself goes to meet our supplication and pleads in our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings too deep for utterance. And he who searches the hearts of men knows what is in the mind of the Holy Spirit, what his intent is, because the Spirit intercedes and pleads before God in behalf of the saints, according to and in harmony with God's will. So what I want you to see in this passage is that, first of all, this talks about the Spirit of God pleading on our behalf. Now, this does not mean that you say, okay, you know, the Scripture says I don't know how to pray, and so because I don't know how to pray, the Spirit of God's going to do it for me. That's not what it's saying. It's not saying, okay, just Spirit of God, I don't need to pray because I don't know how. So you just go ahead, you take care of it for me. I'll go about my business and do the things that I know how to do. And because I don't know how to do this anyway, you just do it. You plead on my behalf. What this says, and you can see it specifically in the Amplified, it says that the Spirit himself goes to meet our supplication. It's our supplication. It is our prayers, but it says that he goes to meet our supplication and pleads in our behalf with unspeakable yearnings, or things that we would not be able to speak with our intellect, with our ability, with our tongue. We would not be able to speak these things, but the Spirit of God connects together with us. He goes to meet our supplication, pleads in our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings too deep for utterance. And he does this in accordance with the will of God, in harmony with the will of God. So when we are praying, we know that the way that we're going to have effective prayers, and this is 1 John chapter 5, I believe verse 13 and 14, where it says that this is a confidence that we have, that when we pray according to his will, he hears our prayers. And if he hears our prayers, we know that we will have those things that we have asked. Our confidence is in praying God's will. When we don't know what the will of God is, we have a helper to help us out to pray out the will of God, to connect together with our supplications to pray out God's will. Now, we're talking an adventure when we're going to pray out what God's will is, like the adventure that Elijah had when he says, you know what? It's not going to rain until I say it's going to rain. Wow. What an adventure. Yeah, but that was Elijah. But he was a man or a human like any one of us are. You know, so stop pulling off that excuse. Well, he was a prophet of God. How did he know what was going to happen? Because God told him. How do we know what's going to happen? Because the Spirit of God will disclose to us things that are to come. Now, you know, if you take out an ad in the newspaper and say it's not going to rain for until I say it's going to rain, you better have a word from the Lord, okay? But in reality, you know, it's that way. It is that we need to be ready for speaking out adventures or praying out adventures that the Spirit of God gives us information and revelation about, or connects together with our pleadings, with our prayers to God, so that we are connecting with him in God's will, in harmony with God's will, not just praying out prayers that we think that we know, that we understand. And this is why this is why I'm emphasizing this today, because for the most part, I believe what Christians do is they pray out their mind and their intellect. And typically what we are praying out is how we think things ought to be. And it is not always in harmony with God's will. And a lot of times those prayers aren't answered because we're not praying God's will. So we need to be able to somehow connect with God's will, even when we don't know how we ought to pray. And that's why the Spirit of God has been given to us, so that we can pray beyond our intellect, beyond our natural reasoning, to be able to connect with the will of God and pray that out, praying out adventures in prayer. Okay, how did I go backwards? Okay, so turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14 opens up several series of sermons. and part of it, I believe, Lord willing, I will expound some more on next week. I believe we're going to be talking about adventures in gifts of the Spirit. But so I'm just going to share part of this passage of Scripture here, and for the part that I'm sharing today about our own personal prayer life. Okay, so let me read verses 1 through 5 first. It says, "Let love be your highest goal, but you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. For if you have the ability to speak in tongues, you will be talking only to God, since people won't be able to understand you. You will be speaking by the power of the Spirit, but it will all be mysterious. But one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally, but one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church. I wish you could all speak in tongues, but even more, I wish you could all prophesy, for prophecy is greater than speaking in tongues, unless someone interprets what you are saying, so that the whole church will be strengthened." Okay, now I'm going to skip on down to verses 13 through 15. So anyone who speaks in tongues should pray also for the ability to interpret what has been said. For if I pray in tongues, my spirit is praying, but I don't understand what I am saying. Well then, what shall I do? I will pray in the spirit, and I will also pray in words I understand. I will sing in the spirit, and I will also sing in words I understand. Then verses 20 and 21. Dear brothers and sisters, don't be childish in your understanding of these things. Be innocent as babies when it comes to evil, but be mature in understanding matters of this kind. It is written in the scriptures, I will speak to my own people through strange languages and through the lips of foreigners, but even then they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Okay, here's some of the things that I want to bring out in this passage of scripture. It talks of speaking in tongues, and in another part of that, it describes that as unknown languages. And it says that when we are doing this, we are speaking by the power of the Spirit. So here again is a way that the Spirit of God connects with us in our prayer life so that our prayer will not just be according to our reasoning, but we will begin having adventures with the Spirit of God in prayer, praying in line with the will of God, seeing those prayers come to pass or those prayers answered because we are connecting with Him in the power of the Spirit. It also describes speaking with other tongues as speaking mysteries. Now, the reason why I pointed out parts of this, different parts of the scriptures, because I want you to see that there are two types of speaking with other tongues. First of all, there is the personal prayer kind of speaking with other tongues. And this is described in this passage, you know, in verse 2, it describes it as talking to God. Okay, so that's prayer, talking to God. Verse 14, it says, my spirit prays. Okay, and verse 4 says that we are strengthened personally. Okay, so this is part of the phenomena of praying in other tongues. It is a personal prayer. It's where we are speaking to God, where our spirit prays. Okay, so it is beyond our human intellect. We'll see more on that in a little bit. And we are strengthened personally as a result of that. Okay, so see the value of this type of personal prayer. But now in this passage of Scripture, there also is describing a message to the body of other tongues, unknown languages, but must include interpretation. Otherwise, no one else is going to receive the blessing of that message. They won't understand it without the interpretation. Okay, now in this this part of speaking with other tongues, in verse 21, it says, the Lord is speaking there. It's a quote from Isaiah chapter 28 where the Lord says, I will speak to my own people. Okay, so this is different than our personal prayer life. This is different than praying to God. It says, God says, I will speak to my people through unknown languages, through tongues of foreigners. I will speak to my people. So you can see the difference there. This is equivalent to prophecy, tongues with interpretation. In verse 5, it says, better to prophesy than to speak with other tongues unless there is interpretation. Okay, so if there is interpretation, then that makes it equal to prophecy. It is equivalent to prophecy. And this is describing as in verse 5 as well as strengthening the church. The church is edified, or the church is built up, the church is strengthened. So the personal prayer life strengthens the individual. You know, that is praying to God with other tongues. The message in tongues with interpretation is for the it's not us speaking to God, it's God speaking to us. And it brings strength to the whole body rather than just the individual. So you can see these two types of speaking with other tongues as compared in this passage of Scripture. Now, a couple of other things about praying in tongues or the personal prayer. In verse 14, again, it says, my spirit is praying. It says, but my mind doesn't understand. Okay, so let me share this with you from the Amplified. It says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit, by the Holy Spirit within me, prays, but my mind is unproductive. It bears no fruit and helps no one. This, I would say, is probably the biggest obstacle for people praying in other tongues. Because your mind says, no purpose in it. It's fruitless. I don't understand. If I don't understand, I ain't going to do it. I'm not going to yield to it. Our mind, we always have this challenge with natural thinking. Remember in 1 Corinthians 2:14 where it says, the things of God are foolishness to the natural man. Now that is not just the unsaved man, but that is the individual who does not have the revelation that speaking with other tongues is connecting with the Spirit of God. So our spirit prays with the Holy Spirit connected together with us, praying out the will of God. And that even though our mind is unfruitful, it has its benefit and its blessing. It will strengthen us. And it will connect us to the Spirit of God in praying out the will of God. But the natural man, the natural mind is always going to go, this is foolish. This is silly. Doesn't make sense. I don't understand. So there is the challenge where we, instead of yielding to our mind and natural reasoning, say, you know what? I want to pray beyond what I can reason with my mind. Now, that doesn't mean we stop praying with our reasoning. Because he says in verse 15, he says, what's the result then? I'll put this up. What's the result? I'm going to pray with the Spirit and with understanding. And I'm going to sing with the Spirit and with understanding. So there is this part of singing with other tongues, I believe, because it says when I pray in unknown tongues, my spirit prays. Okay, so there's prayer in the Spirit, but there's also singing in the Spirit and with understanding. But I believe that because of the reality of our mind being unfruitful when we're praying in other tongues, I believe that's why the Lord in this passage of Scripture says, pray that you may interpret. Because I believe that not only is there the interpretation for the body to be edified when the Lord gives a message in other tongues, which must have interpretation for the body to receive the understanding of it, but I believe it is even connected with our personal prayer life, that when we pray in other tongues and we are connecting with the Spirit of God, that we ask or pray that we can receive the interpretation of what we're praying in other tongues, so that our mind will connect and will be fruitful with our mind as well as with our spirit. Are you catching what I'm saying? Am I saying it clear enough? So that we're not just left off in the dark when we're praying in other tongues. We go, you know, praying in other tongues. In fact, that can be one of the weaknesses of praying in other tongues is that you disconnect mentally. You go, okay, I'm just going to put my spirit praying right now. And I'm going to, in my mind, make my grocery list and make my to-do list for the day because my mind doesn't have to be engaged. My spirit's praying. Go ahead, spirit, pray. Mind, you do something else more fruitful. I don't think that's what the Lord intended by us praying with other tongues. I believe he wants us to connect with the Spirit of God, with the power of the Spirit. Remember, when we pray in other tongues, we are praying with the power of the Spirit. God wants us to have adventures in our prayer life beyond what we can naturally reason because we don't always know what we ought to pray. Have you ever been in that situation where you go, I don't know how to pray? Guess I won't. No, God says, when you don't know how to pray, here's the Spirit of God to enable you, to connect with you in your prayer, to pray out sometimes even things you can't utter in natural words. Groanings too deep for utterance. Well, I remember we used to have awesome experiences in the chicken house in our farming days. I remember picking eggs one day, praying in other tongues, and all of a sudden this groanings came out of me, and I'm going, "What is this? What is going on?" But you know how God groans for people sometimes, and if He connects you in that prayer for an individual or for a situation, and there's not even the words to utter, but it's it is laboring in the Spirit. Some of you have heard prayer being like giving birth. And how many know that when you give birth, frequently groanings are involved? I've been there 4 times. But so, you know, in giving birth in prayer, that may happen as well. Enough on that. I can tell I'm getting in trouble. I'm sorry, honey. All right. So, but here's something that we need to emphasize too as well when we're talking about praying in other languages or giving messages in other languages, I want you to turn, we're right there, 1 Corinthians 13, one chapter back, verse 1. It says, if I could speak all the languages on earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Okay, so what I want to point out in this is, first of all, there are languages of earth. We know that there are foreign languages here on earth, and sometimes our prayer may be in a foreign language here on earth. I remember specifically one time when I was giving forth a message in other tongues here in the service, and Horacio came up afterwards, and he said there were four specific words in Spanish that I had spoken. Okay. I don't remember all the details. But in the other tongues that I had spoken, there were specifically four, you know, and I don't know Spanish. You know, if I was going to pray in Spanish, it'd come out like tacos, burritos, you know, tortillas, el baño, ¿dónde está el baño? Where is the bathroom? You know, that's how I would, if I was trying to pray in Spanish. But in other tongues of the earth, you know, sometimes there will be people who will understand that language there because it's their language. It's unknown to you, it's unlearned to you, but it's their language and they understand it. And sometimes they can interpret that way. But there's also languages of angels that probably no one here on earth knows and understands. And yet by the Spirit of God, those can be interpreted as well if you speak forth one of those. But the point of this is it says it's meaningless without love. So in other words, gifts of the Spirit have no value without fruit of the Spirit. And you know, I have shared this with people. I believe that we are more filled with the Holy Spirit when we are yielding to the Spirit in every area of our life. Yielding to the Spirit, not only in the gifts, the equipping, the empowering that it gives us to do, but also in the fruit of the Spirit, or in our character and our behavior that is yielded to the Spirit of God. And I have seen people who just can rattle off in other tongues, but not walk in love, not walk in the fruit of the Spirit. And I would say one who's walking in love is more filled with the Spirit than one who can speak with other tongues but doesn't walk in love. Because without love, it's meaningless. It is insignificant. Okay, Squan. Yielding the tongue, James chapter 3. Here's another whole series of sermons. Yeah, Melanie's saying, you know, when I was seeking the Lord as to what ministry he wanted me to enter, I mean, I knew I was called to minister before I knew it, I was called to pastor, and I shared this with you a couple of weeks ago that I couldn't see how I could be a pastor and stay in the same place, speak to the same people week after week, that I would run out of things to say. And I can't even get it done in 22 years, I still. And I'm talking instead of looking up my verse. I'm not a multitasker very well. Okay, James 3. This is almost a different topic, but there's a significant point that I want to bring out in this. So James 3, verse 1 through 12. Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. Indeed, we all make many mistakes, for if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set the whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives? Or a grapevine produce figs? No, and you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. Okay, what's the point that I want to make in here? First of all, it talks about our tongue. If we could control our tongue, we could control ourselves in every other way. It shows the significance of this small member of the body. It says, with this, the course of your life, or even like a forest fire could be set. It's comparing it to like a small spark that lights up a whole forest fire. And how your tongue sets the course, sets the direction. It says, you know, it's a small member of your body, but it makes a big shift in the direction of your life. For instance, it relates it to like a horse's bit, the bit in the horse's mouth. With that small bit, that small piece of metal in the horse's mouth, you can steer that horse the direction that you want it to go. And so it also compares it with a little rudder on a huge ship. This small little rudder determines the direction that ship is going, wherever the pilot wants it to go. And what it says here is that the tongue, the taming of the tongue, is impossible by man. It requires more than ourselves. And so what I'm suggesting with this portion of Scripture, is that we would yield our tongues to the Spirit of God. And I believe that's what is being spoken here when it talks about us praying with other tongues. What we are is we're yielding up this little member of the body that can make an extreme difference in the course of our life. We're yielding it up to the Spirit of God in our prayer life. When we pray with other tongues and we connect with the Spirit of God and pray in line with the will of God, when we don't know how to pray as we ought, what we are is we're yielding up this member that could otherwise be very unruly. And even when you're praying with your own intellect, if you're praying by natural reasoning only, not connected with the Spirit of God, I mean, you can pray the Word of God, and a lot of times I'll just repeat what God's Word says in my prayers, because I believe then I'm connecting with the will of God. When I'm praying with my understanding, I pray out, a lot of times I just pray out Scripture, because I know I have that confidence in that I'm praying with the will of God. But if I just pray out a situation the way I think it ought to come out, boy, you know, when it comes to judging, when it comes to determining what's right and what's wrong, I line up pretty puny compared to God. I'd rather have His will. I'd rather be praying out in agreement with His will. And so I believe what we are doing is we are yielding up this unruly member of our body that we can't control ourselves. We're yielding it up to the Spirit of God so that we'll pray, even in our prayer life, we'll yield that tongue to declare things that are in line with God's will. Okay. On to praying in the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Praying in the Spirit. Now, I don't think that praying in the Spirit is only with other tongues. I believe it can be with your understanding also, but it's that understanding that is connected with the will of God, the Spirit of God, as you have been able to interpret those things that you have spoken in other tongues. See, it's much broader than just simply praying out our prayers in English. Jude 1:20 says, but you, dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith, praying in the power of the Holy Spirit. So we're encouraged over and over again to pray in connection with the Spirit of God and the Spirit's power. Remember in 1 Corinthians 14 that it says, when we pray in an unknown tongues, we are praying by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'd like you to turn with me to Acts chapter 4 and verses 23 and 34. Excuse me, 23 through 35. This is a passage of recorded prayer. There's not a lot of recorded prayers in the Scripture. There are some. But, and this, you know, I just want to say it says nothing about other tongues in this passage of Scripture. So I'm not trying to make that connection with this passage of Scripture. But what I believe it is prayer in connection with the Spirit of God, that this group of people has connected with the Spirit of God, and they end up experiencing an adventure with the Spirit of God as a result of this praying with the Spirit, praying in the Spirit. As soon as they were freed, I'm in verse 23, chapter 4. As soon as they were freed, Peter and John returned to the other believers and told them what the leading priests and elders had said. When they heard the report, all the believers lifted their voices together in prayer to God. O sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, you spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through our ancestor David, your servant, saying, where were the nations? Why were the nations so angry? Why did they waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepared for battle. The rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah. Let me share something first before we continue on with the other verses in there. This first speaks about all the believers lifting their voices together in prayer. Now we know from Matthew chapter 18, verse 19, the significance of agreement in prayer. Jesus said, if any two of you agree concerning anything in prayer, my Father in heaven will answer that prayer. So we see the significance of agreement in prayer. And here it says that all the believers lifted their voices together in prayer. As I was meditating on the scripture, I thought, you know, culturally and according to your spiritual stream, you're going to interpret this passage of scripture in different ways. What does it mean to lift their voices together? It says voices. Okay, so there was more than one person praying. There was more than one person that was speaking out in prayer. Now, if you came from a liturgical background, from your perspective, you would possibly interpret this as they had a book of prayer, and they would all say it together. Okay, so they would, or they would say it responsively. One would say, "O Sovereign Lord, Creator of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them," and another would say, "You spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through our ancestor David, your servant, saying." You know, and I'm sorry, I'm not trying to make fun, but you know, there is a difference. And I'm saying that may be a possible interpretation where in order to get everyone praying in agreement, you guys agree this is the prayer we're going to pray. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You know, we could pray out Paul's prayer in the Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 3. We sometimes pray those things as prayers, repeat that scripture as prayers. And there would be nothing wrong with us doing it together, okay? So I'm not saying that's wrong. What I'm saying is if you were oriented that way, you would possibly interpret the scripture that way. Now, those who are down south, charismatic, they would, one person would be praying out, and a whole bunch of others would be saying, "Yes, amen, go, go." Yeah, Stephanie and Sonia, you guys could help me out in this, right? Am I right? Am I right? You're right. Agreement in prayer. We're agreeing. We're lifting our voices together more than one voice. Uh-huh. Yes, go. Yes, God. Yes. Amen. So be it. Up north, we would go, "Yes, Lord." "Yes, Lord." "Amen." "Yes, God." Or we would just, "Yeah, yeah, sure. You betcha. There then." You know, but it's very difficult for southern preachers to come up north here. You know, Sonia, bless you. You'll have your challenge. I get used to people being very quiet, you know. But down south there, yes, go, go, you know, joining in. And up here, we're just so conservative and so reserved. And we, yeah, I agree. But anyway, my whole point is, some way or another, they were lifting their voices together. Whether it was in a liturgical kind of, we're reading the same prayer, or whether it was the expressive, "Yes, we agree." You know, they were lifting their voices together. And I think there's an experience that we ought to press for where we're agreeing together in prayer and declaring it to be so. Not just mentally, not just with our mind going, "I agree," inside my head. But instead we're expressing, "So be it. Amen. I agree." So we need to pray out those things, praying together. Okay. If we want adventures in prayer, that is. Verse 27. In fact, this has happened here in this very city. For Herod Antipas, Pontius Pilate, the governor, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were all united against Jesus, your holy servant, whom you anointed. But everything they did was determined beforehand according to your will. And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. After this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. Okay, now we're going to go on, but let me give you these notes. Their prayer was, give us boldness in preaching. They were all lifting up their voices together, and they were all saying, give us boldness in preaching. They were asking God, stretch out your hand with healing power. I believe that they were connecting with the Spirit of God to pray these things out because they were being threatened of being shut down. Don't go and preach in this name anymore after they'd healed that man at the beautiful gate. After he went out jumping and leaping and praising God, they said, don't do that anymore. Don't preach in this name of Jesus. And Peter says to him, well, who should we obey, you or God? He said, we cannot stop sharing these things that we have both seen and heard. And they go back and they report to the people, these are the kinds of things that are coming down. These are the threats that are coming against us. And so they connect with the Spirit of God in praying out, say, Lord, give us boldness in preaching. Stretch out your hand with healing power. Lord, do this more. Do this more. Even though we are being threatened, do this more. Okay, and then it says that their prayer was that many miraculous signs and wonders be done. And it says that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. This was part of their adventure in prayer as they received that filling of the Holy Spirit. And it says, then they preached the word of God with boldness. Now here is another phenomena that happened that goes on from verse 32. All the believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own, so they shared everything they had. The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great blessing was upon them all. There was no needy person among them, because those who owned land or houses would sell them and bring the money to the apostles to give it to those in need. Wow. When was the last time we saw that happening in the body of Christ? We're too selfish for that anymore, I believe. Do we have needy among us? Okay. They were all united in heart and mind and shared everything. I think that was one of the most phenomenal things that was a testimony to those who were not believers. Just look at how they love one another. And didn't Jesus say, they will know that you are my disciples because you love one another? They were living beyond themselves. They had connected with the Spirit of God and they were living beyond themselves. So praise God. We are Spirit-filled. The more we yield to the Holy Spirit, the more filled you will be in both gifts and in fruit and in direction of the Lord. He will give you direction and in truth. And as a result of increased truth, you will increase in freedom. And finally, adventure. You will have adventures with God as you are connecting with Him in this power of prayer, praying in other tongues, so your spirit will pray and connect with the Spirit of God and pray out the will of God when you don't know how to pray as you ought. And then pray the interpretation so that you can connect mentally with what you're doing spiritually. And follow after the Spirit of God. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you have not left us helpless. You have not given us a big task of praying and praying out the will of God. Jesus said, pray in this way, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But Lord, you have given us the ability to pray your will be done by giving us the Holy Spirit to connect together with us when we don't know how we ought to pray. We thank you, Lord, for the spiritual gift of praying with other tongues. And Father, I pray that you'll bring us more and more revelation of that as in times to come, as we're speaking about the gifts of the Spirit and speaking about how you have empowered us, Lord, to live out this life of Christianity. And Father, we just want to live out this relationship with you in connection with you and in the power of the Spirit of God so that we can do it in an effective manner. We agree with your word, Lord, that says that the prayers of your people, righteous people, has great power and will accomplish much. We desire for the accomplishment of your will here on earth, Lord. Help us as we learn more and more how to pray as we ought. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, let me ask the blessing over the meal, too, because we're going to go directly from here to our fellowship meal. So we'll ask the blessing on that as well. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to connect together in fellowship, to share our food, to share our fellowship. And we pray that, Lord, as your plan and intent is that the body be edified, that even in this time of sharing together in food and fellowship, that we can encourage each other, Lord, and your people will go out of here stronger, being strengthened and edified. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. With that, I will dismiss you with the Lord's blessing, and If you can stay, we'd love to have you stay for the fellowship meal.